Irwin, Los Angeles, California, September 22, 1902. Professor Irwin Kurenbong, New South Wales. Dear brother, your letter to W.C. White was received yesterday. The camp meeting has just closed, and we have had only one day in which to prepare our Australia mail. The camp meeting began 10 days ago and closed last night. Has been busy early and late. For all through the meeting there has been much perplexing business to transact. The Lord is graciously strengthening me. I am as active as I have ever been in my life. For a while after my last trip to the East, I was obliged to be very cautious in regard to speaking before congregations. But as I grew stronger, I tested my strength, and I found that I gradually became more and more able to speak. Since then I have spoken several times at Calistoga, twice in the open air, several times in Oakland, seven times at the Petaluma camp meeting, and many times at the sanitarium, where every Sabbath there is a most interesting audience. I spoke there the two last Sabbaths before leaving for Los Angeles, and I felt the special blessing of God, and yet I had some fear as to how I should bear the test of speaking to a large tent full of people. But the Lord has wonderfully sustained me. Last Sabbath, before going to the meeting, a weakness came over me, and I felt fearful. But the moment that I stood on my feet before the people, I felt that the everlasting arms were beneath me. My voice was full and smooth, and everyone in the tent heard me, though I did not put forth the least effort to make them hear. For a time after my last severe illness, I feared that I should never be able to use my voice again. I tried to pray at family worship, but after I had uttered a word or two, no sound would come. My voice was gone. For a long time I had to keep silent, but the Lord has restored my voice to me, and I cannot be grateful enough to Him for this mercy. I am so thankful. I know that I have a testimony to bear, and I thank God that I can still be His witness. We each have a work to do, the work of proclaiming to the world the last message of warning. In clear, distinct tones we must give this message. But I greatly fear that though we have had such great light, we are not as earnest as we should be. Let us study the words. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5-10. Just such an experience as this is what we need today. We need the Holy Spirit and assurance. Living power must attend the message of Christ's second coming in the clouds of heaven. We must not rest until we see many souls converted to the blessed hope of the Lord's appearing. The message wrought a real work that turned souls from idols to serve the living God. The work to be done today is just as real, and the truth is just as much truth. Only we are to give the message with as much more earnestness as the coming of the Lord is nearer. The message for this time is positive, simple, and of the deepest importance. We must act like men and women who believe. We are not half awake to the perils and the dangers that we must be prepared to meet. Waiting, watching, working, praying, warning the world, this is our work. The truths of prophecy are bound up together, and as we study them, they form a beautiful cluster of practical Christian truth. All the discourses that we give are plainly to reveal that we are waiting, working, and praying for the coming of the Son of God. His coming is our hope. This hope is to be bound up with all our words and works, with all our associations and relationships. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, 20, 3, 12, 13. I feel the truth of these scriptures. Let us hear the voice of God. Come up higher. Let us increase more and more in faith, in righteousness, in power. When we receive the Holy Spirit, souls will be converted under our ministry. Let us be in earnest, doing our work faithfully. In much love.